Hello, welcome back to Dive In, the radio ministry of Deeper Life Fellowship in Mobile, Alabama. I'm Pastor Mark Wyatt. I'm glad you've joined us today. This is part two of A Message from Prince Caspian. We're taking a scene from the book from the Chronicles of Narnia and likening it to the story of a man born blind that Jesus healed. I'm glad you're with us, and I hope the Lord speaks to you today about what it means to give the testimony of Jesus. So join us now for the second part of A Message from Prince Caspian.
So Jesus kind of explains a little bit here, and he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus answered. Now, does that mean this guy and his parents had never sinned? No, obviously what he's saying is none of the things they've done wrong is responsible for his condition. This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night's coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. I'm going to have to skip over all that right now. Except to say, Jesus said the reason he was born blind is so that you can see what you're about to see. See, there may have been some people who had, you know, if some of us had been there in that guy's life, we would have prayed for him to receive his sight. And if he hadn't gotten his sight back, we would have been prone to say, well, maybe God doesn't heal. Or maybe he's got sin in his life. Or trying to come, see, when we pray for people and they don't get healed, somehow we have this need to try to explain why. Guys, we've got to get over that. I'm telling you, as we are praying for people, which you guys do, which you know that I encourage you to do all over the place, wherever we go, we're in Walmart, we're praying for people, we're getting at the gas station, we're at work, we're with neighbors, we're praying for people. If you pray for somebody to be healed and they don't get healed right then, the question why is completely the wrong question. It's irrelevant. It's not the issue. Because no matter why they didn't, see, sometimes we think we can, if we answer that, we can come up with a formula so that it won't happen next time. So that we can eventually get everybody healed. Listen, we got to embrace the mystery. We know God heals. We know God, his will is for the kingdom of God to come. And so to rule and reign in every situation, that's what we push in for. That's what we're advancing. That's what we pray for. When Lee McDougal was healed of Parkinson's disease, he had it for 8 years. Lots of people prayed for him before he got healed. And every time they prayed, they would have to leave saying, well, I guess God doesn't want to heal him. And so some would say, well, Lee, obviously God doesn't want to heal you because we prayed and he didn't do it, so obviously he doesn't want to. Well, it just wasn't time. There was a time that was ordained for his healing, and it came. For this man, people might have prayed for him for years, but there was a time that was ordained for his healing. And it was a time that would most greatly display the glory of God. So Jesus said, I'm glad you guys get to see this. All right. Verse 6, after he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. Wow, this is our sweet, gentle Jesus, you know, that carries lambs on his shoulders. You know, people say, you know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Well, if he's like Jesus, I'm not so sure. I mean, just imagine for a moment that you're this guy, and he can't see what's going on. He's blind. And so all these people, he hears this commotion, and he hears this conversation going on over him. He's going, what? He hears them talking about this guy, you know, this man. And then he hears, right? And then he feels something smeared on him. And you know, he's thinking, oh, please. Please tell me this is not what I think it is. Yeah, I'm glad I couldn't see that. And so he figures it out pretty quickly because it's not that hard. And can you imagine the disciples, everybody around watching, to see the glory of God made manifest. And they're going, oh. Okay.
That's not kosher.
God, I don't get it. Yeah, it's not kosher. Could you explain that to me? You know, listen, there are times when God does stuff in people's lives that we don't understand, and we're saying, God, can you explain that to me? Because I don't understand that at all. That just don't look right. It just, something about that just ain't right. If that was God, wouldn't have happened. Well, listen, yeah, I love what Aslan says to Lucy. Same thing never happens the same way twice. Jesus, you know, this guy's saying, man, why couldn't I have been the guy where he just laid his hands on his eyes and said, see, no, I get spit and dirt. And so the same thing, listen, understand something. God, when we have an encounter with Jesus, We have an encounter based on what God wants to do in our lives at that moment. Don't ever think that your encounter with Jesus has to look like somebody else that you know that had a great encounter with Jesus. You know, but I'm telling you, there's pressure in that sometimes. We're growing up. Well, if you're going to have an encounter with Jesus, it's got to look like this. You have to have prayed this prayer. You have to have felt this way, or else, you know, it wasn't real. And so we try to take somebody else's encounter with God and make it our own and say, oh, okay, now I know that I've got... We do that even after we get saved. Somebody has an experience with God where they see a vision, you know, and they see the Lord, and we're thinking, well, I hadn't had a vision yet. God didn't like me as much. Well, this guy might have thought, well, he spit in my eyes. God didn't like me as much. But the thing is, though, watch what happens next. Jesus rubs this on his face. In verse 7, go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Now, it says, so he left, washed, and came back seeing. There's got to be something left out of my Bible. Because if it were me, there would have been a whole conversation in there. You know, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Okay, which way is it? No, what good is that going to do? I don't understand. How is that going to help? You just spit in the dirt, put them on. Now you're telling me to go wash up. I don't get it. This guy didn't argue, though. And listen, you know what he did? He got up from there, and this man who was born blind, who was a beggar, was willing to walk through the middle of town with dirt and spit running down his face. You know why? Because he was desperate. Desperation, everybody, drives us to follow Jesus in ways that we would never have if it was all about our dignity. But in desperation, we're willing to lose some dignity. There was a moment 12 years ago, August 10th, 1996, when I was, Hillary, you were there. Philip, I don't know if you were there that night. We were standing in the chapel at Brownsville Assembly of God. It was our second night there. And the Lord, man, we were in worship, and God doing something in me that I knew my heart was about to just burst. And God was asking me just to say yes to him. But I knew that if I did, everybody, I knew that if I said yes, I was going to start weeping, and it wasn't going to be this dignified dab at the eyes, you know, welling up. It was going to be loud, racking, snot-flying sobs. And so, but I knew, I remember it. I'm telling you, just, I'll never forget this moment. I knew there was a moment in time and in eternity where I had a choice, and God would have allowed me to say no. But if I had said no, I would have shut out the Holy Spirit. I would have turned away, and I believe I would have missed. I got to tell you, none of us would be in this room right now. Because my experience, my encounter with God there is what led me to everything that's brought me here, that's brought us together. We wouldn't even be here at this moment. And as I said yes, and what happened was loud, racking, snot-flying sobs. It was a mess. I'm telling you, it wasn't it. These guys were embarrassed. And so they embarrassed to be around. Still are. Yeah. I don't blame them. And so it was wild. But you know what though? At that moment, heaven opened up to me. And man, I mean waves of the love of God just washed through me. And I've never been the same since. But I was desperate. I was hungry. I needed a touch from God. And I had to be willing to lose my dignity in order to get my healing. And so, there are times, everybody, when God may call us to a moment when we may have to lose our dignity in order to just to grab onto whatever he has for us. So watch for those moments. Don't turn it away. Be willing to walk through the middle of town with dirt and spit running down your face if you have to in order to get what Jesus said you want to have. All right, so he goes to town. He comes back seeing. Now, apparently when he gets back, Jesus has moved on. He's not there because here's what happens. He left, washed, and came back seeing. In verse 8, his neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, isn't this the man who sat begging? And some said, yeah, that's him. No, others saying, but he sure looks like him. Now watch. Here's what happens. When God does something in your life, no matter what it is, there are people who will understand, who will believe that God has done something in you. That the Lord has healed you, God has saved you, that he's broken your addictions, that God has restored your marriage, that he's brought back your children. Whatever it is, there's some who believe it, but there are others who will do anything they can to try to explain why what happened wasn't God. And so these guys, they have seen this guy his whole life begging in front of them. And now they're looking at him, and just because he can see, same guy, but now he can see. And so they said, "Isn't that the guy who was blind over here?" Some said, "Yeah, that's him." And others said, "Nah, it can't be. Sure looks like him, though. But it can't be him. Why? Well, because this guy's not blind." And we know that couldn't happen. So people will try to explain away a move of God in your life. Y'all, I'm going to jump to the end real quick and fast forward and rewind. Let me give you a big idea here for this message is this. When I was growing up, to witness to somebody, you kind of pretty much had to have all the formulas memorized and all the tracks and be able to go down the Romans road. And again, I love knowing all that stuff. I'm glad I have that heritage and that foundation. But I'm telling you, all you've got to have is your story of what your encounter with God did in you. Here's what a witness does. You know what a witness does? A witness tells what he has seen and heard. That's it. If a witness does more than that, somebody's going to object. Objection, hearsay. No. Would you please just answer the question? Just tell me what you've seen and heard. So that's really all it takes for us to tell somebody who Jesus is just to say, this is what he's done for me. And this is what we see here. Watch. He comes back, and they're trying to figure out, is this really him? And so he says, they led into verse 9, he kept saying, "I'm the one. Yeah, it's me. Just ask me. I'm standing right here." Therefore, they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud." Notice he didn't tell him how he made mud. "Spread it on my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So when I went and washed, I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. Now, can I tell you something? Sometimes "I don't know" is the best answer to a question. You know when that's the best answer? When you don't know. And it's okay. Listen, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have read all the theology books or have gone to seminary, have gone through the training. I know many people, I know lots of people who have never told anybody about Jesus because they're afraid somebody's going to ask them a question they don't know the answer to. And they're more confident in what they don't know than they are in what they do know. Because really, all you've got to be able to say is, "Here's what happened to me." So they said, "So how were your eyes open?" He said, "Well, this guy named Jesus came along," because I heard him talking and they were calling him Jesus. "He came along and he made some mud, none of your business how, and he put it on my eyes and he said, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and now I can see again." And they said, "Well, tell us about Jesus. Who is he?" He said, "I don't know." And so begins this journey he goes down. Now watch this. He's facing the same kind of rejection that Lucy was afraid of. In verse 13, they brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. See, now he's the man who used to be blind. See, I love that. His identity has changed already. They brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. The day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes was a Sabbath. Well, now we're in trouble. So again, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. So he's told them once already. So again, they're saying, "Now tell us the story again." Here's what he says. "He put mud on my eyes," he told them. "I washed and I can see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man's not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a sinful man perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. Listen, there are many times when God will do something in your life, and it'll cause a division among people that you know.
That may sound familiar to you if you've had that kind of experience where your relationship with Christ has caused a division by someone who doesn't understand what's happened to you. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow as we continue with part 3 of a message from Prince Caspian. And we'll see what that means in our lives. If you'd like to know more about Deeper Life Fellowship, you can find us on the internet at deeperlifefellowship.com or dlfmobile.com. Be sure to join us on our next broadcast for part 3 of a message from Prince Caspian. We'll see you then.